Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. The St. Petersburg Catalyst talked to Jay Leno and asked him, was there always a plan to go back to stand-up when The Tonight Show ended? Jay said, first of all, I never stopped doing stand-up. I was on the road 150 days a year when I was doing The Tonight Show. You know, I never believed TV was a real job. TV, it lasts as long as it lasts. Then it comes to a crashing end. It just stops. I've told this a million times, but I've never touched a dime from my Tonight Show money. I've always lived on the money I made as a stand-up because I always wanted to be hungry. In my mind, if I don't work this week, I have no money coming in. Well, I do, but in my mind, I don't because I live on what I make that week. Look, it's a ridiculous premise, but it does keep you hungry. The Wall Street Journal spoke to Ricky Gervais. The pandemic has changed Ricky Gervais's morning routines. He now wakes up at 7:30 in the morning, 2 hours earlier than he used to. He drinks coffee, checks his emails, eats breakfast with his partner, author Jane Fallon. They're out of the house by 8:45 for a daily one-hour walk around Hampstead Heath, the grassy woodland park in London. We do it for exercise, to get our steps up. We're slaves to our Fitbits, but it's also to meet dogs. Gervais estimates he knows 200 dogs by name at this point. Does he have a go-to breakfast? It's granola. That's just how I want to be. Without milk or almond milk. Do you take any vitamins? I'm taking a Baruka. It's a fizzy vitamin C thing you put in water, a bit of vitamin D. I started that during the pandemic because I heard it was good against COVID. A vitamin P in there as well. Is that a thing, vitamin P? Never heard of that one. What do you do after the walk? I get back around 10, then I do admin. A typical day, I meet my assistant. We go to the office. I do 2 hours of admin, which includes fan mail. Today, I had to write a description for my stand-up show, and my assistant had about 10 requests. I try and turn them all down. The only things I can't turn down a charity request. Today, I turned down a voiceover and handing out an award. My excuse for not handing out the award was, I can't be bothered to get dressed up, and they just laughed. It's a wonder I still get offered things. Now all requests for actual work start with, I know this is a long shot. My attention span is short, so I do a lot of things at once. I'll be writing a script or working on stand-up. It goes from 2 minutes of concentration to, oh, I have a game of chess. So I have a game of chess and I come back. What was I doing? Then I look at the stand-up thing. I think about that for 3 minutes. Then I go on YouTube and go down a YouTube portal. And then the algorithm kicks in and shows me a song I haven't heard before. It sounds like how I prep for this podcast. Then I might go, no, seriously, I'll be like looking up stories and then Twitter catches my attention. Then I get an email. Yep, I hear you, Ricky. That might be great for this scene if I'm writing something, so I count it all as work. Sometimes interruption is the inspiration. Twitter's the other distraction. Amen. I also tweet as work. It's marketing for me. Amen. I've always got something to flog or tell them about or market research. When I'm working on a new show, I'll often do sort of a phishing tweet where I'll say something like, what's the one thing you should never joke about? And of course, everybody says something different. Everybody's so sure it's the one thing you should never joke about. And that becomes my set list. So, Ricky Gervais, is there something you shouldn't joke about? No, there's no subject you shouldn't joke about. It depends on the joke. As a journalist, there's nothing you wouldn't write about. It depends on your angle, right? I think a lot of this pious offense comes from people mistaking the target of the joke with the subject. You can joke about anything, but it depends on what the actual target is. If you use irony and people see that at face value, they think you're saying one thing, you're actually saying the opposite. I love Ricky Gervais. His stand-up specials are fantastic. Obviously, The Office. Have you heard of this show, The Office? It's a workplace comedy. You'd like it. You should watch it. Afterlife is really good. Extras was really good. What was the other one? The other one I didn't really love. What was the other one? I don't know. Hit me up on social media, at DCNPod, Twitter, at Daily Comedy News, Facebook group, Daily Comedy News Podcast, Reddit, Daily Comedy News. What was the name of that one? I could just look it up. I don't know. Offbeat.com asked Sean Patton about his new special. Hey, is the new special going to be more of a storyteller's type special? Are you trying something different? Sean Patton said, well, something that a much wiser person brought to my attention a while back. Albums are awesome because they kind of exist in their own bubble. They have their own vacuum where people are going to listen to those. And when it comes to an album, you got to think people aren't always going to just be able to sit down and listen to the album start to finish. A lot of times people are listening in the car in their commute to work or while working around, or some idiot who's running a satellite radio comedy channel takes your album and chops it up in a 5-minute bit, Sean Patton. That's been known to happen. They're probably going to listen to a lot in chunks. So with an album, you can sort of give them a charcuterie board of material, if that makes sense. Go back to it, pick at it, take servings of what you desire. With a special, it's a meal. 8 times out of 10, people are going to sit down and watch it start to finish. So it's got to be like a meal, and I want this to be a meal. You know, he brings up a good point. You guys know I get on my soapbox about how the Grammys give out best comedy album for things that I feel are really Netflix specials. I think Sean Patton is kind of nailing the difference between an album and a special here. Let me back up. 8 times out of 10, people are going to sit down and watch the special start to finish. So it's got to be like a meal. The person's got to know what the chef can do or what they're capable of. This special is basically an expose of who I am from start to finish, from the deepest, darkest, most humiliating parts of me to the parts I'm very proud of to have part of me. It's a very personal hour, and it sort of follows a theme of I'm slaying my demons for you so you can learn how to slay yours. I'm exposing my own natural flaws so you can laugh at my flaws and then find your own. If you like what I do here, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. And that's a good way to support the show. You can throw any amount you'd like in the tip jar. You could throw $1. You could throw $1,000,000. And as I've said before, if you throw $1,000,000 in the tip jar, I will shout you out on the podcast. Is that not a deal? Suggested amount $5. Buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. I take your money and I go to the National Donuts chain. Here's one here. You just heard my voice crack. This is the third straight podcast I'm recording for scheduling reasons. Let me take a sip of this delicious iced coffee with caramel and milk. Much better. See, so I take your money and I go to the National Donuts chain. I buy one of those in case I record 3 podcasts in a row and my voice starts to crack. I've learned 3 is the limit. I thought I was going to do 4 today because I'm feeling really good. I've got a lot of energy and I'm trying to accommodate some scheduling issues. By the way, as you're listening to this, I'm on an airplane. I should be home in a couple hours. Buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Al Madrigal, he's a stand-up comedian, actor, TV writer, and producer. I like his stand-up comedy. Well, he's got another job now. Comic book author. Sure, why not? He's the author behind Primos. In Primos, our protagonist is Ricky Pascal, a seemingly ordinary teenager from the LA neighborhood of Boyle Heights, who discovers that he, along with 2 distant cousins, are direct firstborn descendants of the ancient Mayan emperor Jenab, and they are tasked with saving the world from the forces of Jenab's vengeful younger brother, Khan, K-A-N. Both brothers are time travelers and space travelers and are still around. Okay, Al Madrigal. Hey, remember the Todd Barry podcast? Todd Barry said, to be honest, I kind of bailed on the podcast. I haven't recorded a new episode in quite some time. I think it's a great medium because you can say, I want to do this, and then you're doing it. Some podcasts have changed the lives of comics and brought them a following they probably wouldn't have otherwise. That being said, I'd like to further explore podcasting at some point. From the Chicago Sun-Times, the organizers of the World Comedy Expo, how's that for a title? The World Comedy Expo are hoping their 4-day event, slated for Chicago in the spring, will help all of us find something to laugh about. The expo runs March 25th through the 27th and will bring together more than 170 stand-up comics and sketch improv troupes from Chicago, across the country, and across the globe for 27 comedy showcases. Shows at the Laugh Factory, the Annoyance Theater, Den Theater, and 2 of the Second City venues. I'm wondering if I should go to this, because I could crash at my daughter's place. And this sounds like a lot of fun, and I like Chicago. I just may do this. One of the co-founders said, I came to Chicago from Japan as a young stand-up because the city's known as the comedy capital of the world. Is it? It's a really good comedy city. But is it the comedy capital of the world? It's really good. Like, it's really, really, really good. But is it known as the comedy capital of the world? Co-founder Carrie Sheeran spent 11 years as the president of Second City Training Center. She said reaction from the industry after the call went out for expo participants was extraordinary. Sheehan said, having been part of the city's comedy community for many, many years, I knew Chicago had and continues to have a fair amount of comedy festivals. We have the Chicago Improv Festival, Sketch Fest, Just for Laughs. I don't think that happens anymore. That was a good one. That's when I used to go. The Women's Funny Festival, they had their specific niche. Sadly, some are no longer happening. Yep, I was right. With our expo, we really feel we're filling a void. 90 stand-ups, 25 ensembles. Tickets are $20 per showcase. Sheehan said there were no headliners at the festival, but that was a deliberate choice for the inaugural edition of the festival. They hope to bring it to Chicago for many years to come with an even bigger emphasis on international. And let's stick with Chicago. From the Daily Northwestern, last summer, communication sophomore Ethan Gomberg attended a taping of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. During the audience Q&A, he asked Colbert about his experience as a theater major at Northwestern. One name Colbert mentioned stuck out to him, No Fun Mud Piranhas. That's an improv group that had not been active since the start of the pandemic. It was the only one on campus with no auditions. Gomberg decided he wanted to bring them back to the stage. He said, I wanted to fill that need for students interested in improv, interested in performing, to build their skills and practice and have fun in this lower stakes environment. Everybody that's in the room knows what it's like when something doesn't land or a joke bombs, so nobody's negative about it. When something goes great, everybody laughs and everybody's clapping. Everybody's equal. Everybody's just there to have a good time and appreciate the comedy that each person uniquely adds. And that is your comedy news for today. Follow this show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. The Reddit is Daily Comedy News Facebook group. Daily Comedy News Facebook group. If you like what I do here, buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. See you tomorrow.